Doug Goldstein, eFuturist. Here we are with Catherine Schneider, who's the CEO and president, but it's Dr. Catherine Schneider of the Delaware Valley ACO. And you guys are operational and growing and making a difference in patients' lives. So can you tell us a little bit of what the ACO is doing and how it came together?
Sure. So we are now in year two of operation. We are the region's largest accountable care organization and one of the largest in the country. We're a joint venture of Jefferson, Mainline Health, Doylestown, and Holy Redeemer, so Philadelphia, Greater Philadelphia region. This year we have 65,000 fee-for-service Medicare shared savings lives attributed to us. We also have some commercial contracts currently and others coming in the pipeline. And we are very primary care centric. I'm a family physician. I'm also a clinical informatics doctor. And so, you know, we're really looking at population health as the business model for the first time in the 100 plus years of all of our community health systems mission that can support the mission. So it's a really exciting time to be doing this work. And, you know, the ACO is all about the C. It's about changing the care model. It's not just about becoming another health plan. They would have figured it out if it were that easy. But the reason that the ACOs really put their eggs in the provider basket is that by changing the care model, we can change the outcomes of the healthcare and the health status of the communities that we serve. So I'm thrilled to be here. I've been here about 3-4 months now, and we are, you know, up and running.
So tell me some of the key points of the care model changes that you're working on.
Sure. Well, again, we're very primary care centric. And so one of the really core foundational things that we're doing is helping the primary care practices in this region, which are fairly small and fragmented for the most part, actually go through the medical home transformation. So other parts of the country have been ahead of us, and we're really helping the Greater Philadelphia region to catch up in that manner. So that's one thing. Another thing we're doing is using informatics to find the complex sick people and really help to do the care coordination and care management of those folks as they transition out of the hospital or even hopefully upstream before they even get to the hospital. So we've been really focusing on primary care transformation, on care coordination for the very ill. And this year we're kicking off a big initiative around post-acute care because we found from our data from our first year that that is really a huge issue where we can make a real difference.
So a couple points. I know from the research from Horizon that one of the big leaps that patients had to get is it's not just my doctor, but now I have a care team. So in the transition for the primary care practices you're working on, how are you helping them be a medical home? What are some of the key things you're doing?
Yeah, well, we're on a journey. And because we are quite large and we have a lot of diversity in our membership, we have over 450 primary care physicians currently that are part of the Delaware Valley ACO. So some are quite far along on that journey and are already fully operational in a high-level medical home population health model where they're actually getting the majority of their revenue now from value-based streams with embedded care coordination and so forth. And others are at the beginning of the journey. They all have electronic medical records, so that's a good starting point. And we really felt that, you know, you can love them or hate them, but adoption of electronic medical records is at least an indication that you're willing to move along the population health journey and not stay in the fee-for-service world. So, you know, we're helping with those fundamentals of understanding how to improve access, how to track and improve chronic condition care, and even something as simple as working with a complex care manager or care coordinator, and what does that mean and how can it help you?
So the embedded care coordinator sounds critical. Now on the informatics side, one of the things you said that I think is absolutely critical is that we have to know the people we serve that are part of the whole population. So you're doing some unique things to understand who really needs outreach and different kinds of interventions?
Yeah, and we're on a journey. We're on our informatics journey, of course, starting with simple things like find the people who are getting care from more than seven doctors and are on more than seven medications. And that's not something that typically in a fee-for-service visit-based view that a physician understands or may not even know from a primary care physician perspective. So that's one example. Another example is we're now working towards building tools that we can use to know when our patients are in the hospital, in the ED, even in the post-acute setting, regardless of where they are within the region. So those are all tools that are just starting to get legs under them in this region, so it's really exciting.
So two questions. One is the number seven different doctors or different meds. Is there something magic about seven? And then
lucky seven. That's all. Lucky seven.
How'd you pick seven? Is there some data supporting that, or you just saw?
I think there is. We're working with a partner that's the model that they use to identify high-risk members. And, you know, there are a lot of ways you can do that. And as a, you know, former practicing clinician myself, actually one very good way you can do it is to ask physicians, who are the patients that you have that sinking feeling when you see them on your schedule in a fee-for-service environment? Because you know they're complicated. They have all kinds of things that are happening outside the four walls of your office that you don't know about. You know, multiple chronic conditions, multiple medications. So there are a lot of ways you can do it, and I don't think there's any magic way. What's magic is thinking about things differently, and that's the population health view of segmenting your population into the healthy, the at-risk, the acutely ill, and the complex chronic illness.
So the Delaware Valley ACO is doing some really good things. Can you give me a specific example of how you might, if I'm one of those patients with seven meds and I've been identified, how might you try to make a difference in my life?
Yep. Well, you may hear from one of our care coordinators. They may actually outreach to you, even the old-fashioned, you know, telephonically or even while you're coming into your physician's office to talk about how we can help streamline your care, how we can help with the massive confusion that it feels like for people like that, where they don't know who they should be calling for what. They may need help getting to appointments. There may be poor communication and handoffs taking place. So that's all the things that a care coordinator can help with. So that's just one example.
I don't think there's anything old-fashioned about a phone call and a human outreach to someone in need. And I think when we think about the frequent flyers of the healthcare system, they actually would, that's their communication preference. At least that's what I see in the data. Is that what you're seeing in your experience?
Yeah. And I think knowing that someone is part of your care team and not calling from, you know, a call center across the country, I think it really helps to know that someone is local, they're working with your doctor, and really, you know, that's the setting that care management, disease management can really become very effective. I can give you another example. Earlier this year, we turned on our first live ADT feed out of the Jefferson Hospital System. And what that is it basically tells our care coordinators when one of our patients has been in the hospital or in the emergency room at one of Jefferson's facilities. And within 2 weeks of turning that on, we immediately found someone we are responsible for, a Medicare patient we're responsible for, who had been in the emergency room seven times over 2 weeks. And it's just a different view. So you'd think that the emergency room caregivers would have that view of seven times with one person as being different from seven visits from seven different people, but they don't. That's not the model, the care model that they're operating under. They're there to take care of an acute problem, make sure the person's safe, and, you know, send them back to wherever they came from. But this particular gentleman, it turned out no one really knew who his primary care doc was. We did, because we could track back to who had seen him last. And so our care coordinator was actually able to bring together a wide range of services that this individual already had, but that were fragmented, and get him back into primary care to be that hub and the medical home to keep him out of the emergency room.
So Greg Masters and myself, we have moms, and our moms have been in from Health Innovation Media. We've had our moms in hospitals. So So in the case of if they had come to Jefferson and they were part of your network and they were discharged, how quickly would your nurses or your care coordinators be alerted? Like within minutes of my discharge, or what is?
Well, from a technology perspective, it could be within minutes. Right now, we're not doing it within minutes. It's within days. And it sort of depends on many other factors. So they may have a condition that Jefferson actually has put a lot of resources into doing close follow-up of someone after they've left the hospital. So, you know, what's interesting about being at the Delaware Valley ACO is that we have four different member systems that are all very different in terms of their areas of expertise and their culture and the kinds of communities that we serve, that they serve. So we're piecing it all together to some extent and building on programs that are already in place. So your mother at Jefferson may have already had someone from Jefferson doing that kind of outreach if she had been in the hospital. If she were coming into the ER, different story. So, you know, we're trying to build a better mousetrap.
Any closing thoughts on the on this conference and what you hope to get out of it?
I'm really interested in, you know, learning what's working out there in population health management because, you know, whether you call it population or accountable or community health or public health, it's all the same thing.
Streets I